Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into Attacking Third, presented by CarMax, the way car buying should be. I'm Jenny Chu here with Lisa Carlin and Darian Jenkins. And in this bit, we're supposed to banter, and Lisa said she had something for us today. Tell me what's up.
Jenny, so the last time we did our show on Thursday, I said, hey, March Madness is happening. I'd keep you guys up to date.
Okay.
I got you. So Marquette, my school that I went to, we beat Colorado. We were advancing to the Sweet 16. So I'm wearing my gold and my blue and wearing my Marquette championship ring.
I was wondering what all the rings were today.
Well, yeah, because I've won two championships at the Big East.
What's
and then I have my class ring on. So, yeah, I'm okay. I'm in the spirit of
how did the Bruins do? I saw Westbrook and...
I don't know, Darian. I can't keep up with you.
Okay, well, Marquette is doing well, guys. Lisa, our resident Marquette alum, has let us know how the bracket is doing there. Love to see it. Okay, now let's go over to WSL. Or Darian, how are you? We didn't even get some banter with you.
I am great. Happy to be back at the desk. I love this. Happy to be here with you guys. We have a lot of games to talk about, so I'm looking forward to getting into it.
Yes, we didn't have you last weekend, so this is the first time we're all three back. Love to see it. Happy to be here, guys. Let's go ahead and go into the WSL. We'll go to the Manchester Derby to start. That was the game to watch of the weekend. Manchester City against Manchester United. Darian.
Yeah, this was a great game. City came out with a chip on their shoulder to play against United. There was a lot of momentum for them. In the 37th minute, City keep possession and just look at the movement for Jess Park here. Bunny Shaw drops the ball a little bit lower. The ball goes wide, goes out to Wahabi, who plays this ball in and watch Jess Park. Beautiful finish. Pushes it past Mary Earps. Love this for her, but it all comes from Shaw here dropping low, which controversial. She comes from offside. It is obvious from that angle, but it leaves this gap open for Jess Park. Shaw comes back in. Defense gets a little bit spread. No one's close enough to their mark, and she has a beautiful finish. Redirects that. Gives them the 1-0 lead. She also had a shot earlier in the match that I think showed she's in really good form right now. And then here, ball redirects back across the box, and she's there to finish it. Her mark goes a little bit sleepy, leaves her wide open, and she just redirects it, puts it in the back of the net, her second against Earps on the night. And what a way to start her scoring debut with City. And then the talk of the weekend, Bunny Shaw breaks the record with this goal, with 68 goals for Man City. She gets this ball from Jess Park, not only two goals, but an assist, and Bunny Shaw seals the deal with three for City here. United not over though. Kristen Kaspari gets this. It's a little poor deflection on Kaspari from Hannah Blundell's shot, and it gives United one out of City's three, but City takes home the win. And shout out to Bunny Shaw, record breaker, one of the most humble people out there. I'm happy for it. This is so well deserved.
68 goals and 81 career appearances with Manchester City. Absolutely amazing from Bunny Shaw. I know you played with her, Darian, and you absolutely love her.
I do, yeah. She is a great human, and you know, the energy she has in all of her interviews, that is exactly how she is on and off the pitch.
You teed it up.
She's incredibly humble. I love her.
You teed it up. Let's go ahead and hear from Bunny Shaw after this record break.
Yeah, it means a lot. I think you know, the girls demand a lot of me. especially, it starts in the training pitch. Even though I score, I know they're going to be on me in there saying I should have got a few more. But, yeah, I think for me, I just try to do the bits that I can at the top end of the pitch. Of course, you know, the girls look for me to score. But, you know, it's not easy. But, you know, I try to do the best that I can.
Again, great to see this from Bunny Shaw, Lisa.
Yeah, it's such... well-deserved for Bunny Shaw, right? She does so much work off the ball, and when you look at how stacked Manchester City's attackers are, there's a lot for opposition to defend against, and Bunny Shaw doesn't make it easy for them, right? She's constantly moving off the ball. She sets her teammates up well for success, and then to be honored with this, the all-time leading goal scorer for Manchester City is really impressive, and she got that goal in the opening 30 seconds of the second half, guys. It was a 10-minute span for City during this match that really allowed them to capitalize on United, and now they're 3-for-3 over United on the year.
Ah, this was an incredibly important 3 points that takes them over in WSL lead over Chelsea. And then, however temporarily, right? Let's go over to West Ham United against Chelsea, as we talked about. Manchester City and Chelsea fighting for that 1 and 2 spot in the WSL. And we head over for the Blues to be in action against the Hammers.
Jenny, it started really fast. West Ham on the front foot. This flank play for West Ham was impressive. A little chance here for a header from Sae. She just nicks this one off. I mean, the heartbreaker for West Ham throughout this match is that they couldn't find the back of the net, and they gave Chelsea chances like this. Lauren James, no-look pass to Abby Beaver-Jones in behind her. That relationship between Lauren James and Beaver-Jones is so impressive. Oof. James just knows that Beaver-Jones is coming in behind her to find that goal. West Ham opportunity in the 6th minute. A little back and forth battle down this near flank. Ultimately, the cross comes in. Christy Smith, what are you doing on the back post? It was a sitter. All she had to do was pass this, redirected into the back of the net, and you could be equalized in the 6th minute. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. The West Ham chances kept coming for them. A little flicked on header here. It falls nicely right here to the feet of Hayashi. Unfortunately, this one is called offside. Doesn't look offside to me, not at all. And that one offside, again, would have changed the game. So at this point, really, it should be 3-2 or 3-1 to Chelsea. Katerina Macario enters the match. Corner kick opportunity for the Blues. It falls nicely to the back post. Erin Cuppert, holy cow, on this volley. She smacks it. Flies into the back of the net, and Chelsea gets the 2-0 win at the end of the day. Emma Hayes is happy with that result for the Blues.
100% she is. You see that celebration there. But this is a look at the WSL standings after the weekend. Now that Chelsea has played their game, 43 points, but Chelsea is ahead in goal differential. That's why all of those points matter so much. Every goal matters, especially Bunny Shaw scoring at the end there. Let's go ahead and talk about those VAR results in WSL, though, because this is something that has become an issue this weekend. Specifically, we have the Jess Park goal. First of all, that Bunny Shaw is coming from an offside position, if you see her there, and then she's in the buildup, and this gets counted as a goal because VAR is unable to check this, as there is no VAR in the Barclays Women's Super League. This gets counted, and we saw that Bunny Shaw touched and is offside. And then we go to the West Ham game. West Ham has the ability to equalize on the Honoku Hayashi opportunity, and that would be a 1-1. We see this play. She was not offsides. We saw it. I was covering this on Scoreline Live, and we knew that it was not offsides. They call this back because there is no VAR to see that it counts. And they go into halftime, 1-0 Chelsea winning when it should have been a 1-1. What a disgrace for West Ham because they were in 11th place. Obviously, Chelsea needs these points, but that would have been a tied game for them. And like you mentioned, Lisa, there was an opportunity, multiple opportunities for West Ham to be winning.
It would have given West Ham a lot more confidence because they were getting these chances, finding the back of the net on goals that counted and should have mattered. And that changes your demeanor in a game. And especially when you're going up against top dogs Chelsea, if you get one in on them and you're equalized at the half going into the break, it changes the conversation at halftime about how you're going to come out in the second 45, but it's a big mistake and it changes a lot of things.
Yeah, it's tough for them. And especially when you look at Chelsea subs that were coming in the second half, and that's a scary team to go up against. They have weapon after weapon coming off, Cuthbert even coming in and scoring a goal. It's a shame because I think West Ham actually played well and deserved to at least tie against Chelsea. I think they really did deserve it.
Yeah, I completely agree there. But you know what? Skinner, Rian Skinner, the coach of West Ham, said, I'm a bit sick of it. We can't keep having those mistakes in games. It's not good enough. If that's how I operated in my job, I wouldn't be in my job. So that's something to say, obviously. Upset about that West Ham result and how that was a goal and then changes the dynamic of the game and those points. But speaking of Chelsea, according to multiple reports, Sonia Bampastor is the front runner to take over as Chelsea manager once Emma Hayes departs at the end of the season. Bampastor has been in charge of Lyon since 2021. In her time in charge at the club, she's won the 2022 Women's Champions League, becoming the first to win the title as both a player and a coach. And she also led Lyon to two consecutive league titles and the Coupe de France. When we talk about her taking over for Chelsea, does this seem like the right decision here, Darian?
I think it is. She's the only coach to win a Champions League herself and then guide a team to win Champions League. She's got some really big shoes to fill at Chelsea, but I think that, you know, looking at her career resume and everything she's done, how well she's done with Chelsea, they've won 94 games since she's been in charge. Mm-hmm. She's incredible, so I think that she's the person up for the job. It's going to be difficult because I do think the competition is so different than it is in France, but I think it'll make her grow as a coach, and it'll be nice for Chelsea to kind of get a refresh, a different coaching style, and just new experience.
Katerina Macario and Khadija Buchanan have familiarity under Bampastor. They both played under her at Lyon. So there is familiarity there. It's huge shoes to fill. I mean, it's impossible. You're never going to find a like-for-like replacement for what Emma Hayes has done at Chelsea. So I almost think Chelsea just has to go in a completely different direction to some extent, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're never going to replicate what you had under Hayes. Now, I do like this for Bampastor. I think it's a good next step for her and an opportunity. And it's really one of the only names that's being talked about right now. When the initial news broke, it was like, oh, maybe Laura Harvey, maybe Casey Stoney, maybe Luis Cortez, the former Barcelona coach that led them to their first ever Champions League title. But now, I mean, Bampastor is the only name being talked about.
Well, I will say, Darian, you bring up a great point, but the change in competition, right? Going from the French League to go to the WSL and the English League, that is a big jump. That is a very, you know, different type of league. Lyon being so dominant in their league, considering Chelsea, you know, fighting with Manchester City here at the very end of the WSL season, it is a different dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, and just different style of play. The WSL is incredibly physical. The French League, it's physical in some ways, but you have a lot more space and time on the ball. So I think it's going to be a big adjustment for her, but I also like what this can bring to Chelsea. Maybe they're going to, I don't know, slow down play a little bit, bring a different sort of French flair that she could have. But
do that with the personnel at Chelsea right now?
Yeah, these players are incredible. I think that so it's going to add layers to their game.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
I like that. Well, since we're talking about Chelsea, Emma Hayes is going to lead the U.S. Women's National Team, and we'll be talking about the U.S. Women's National Team's games ahead of the Olympics against Mexico when we return.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome back into Attacking Third, presented by CarMax, the way car buying should be. Let's talk about the U.S. Women's National Team hosting a friendly against the Mexican National Team. This is a Mexican National Team that beat the U.S. in the W Gold Cup about a month ago. Not even a month ago, now that we think about it. But this is right before the Olympics. They'll face off with one of their rivals at Red Bull Arena on July 13th. What do we think about this? This is part of an Impact 99 celebrating the 99ers on their 25th anniversary of their Women's World Cup victory. But what do we think about the rival itself and the fact that this game is being played in New Jersey, Lisa?
I think to honor on the 25th anniversary of the 99ers, this is really huge. It's about time that the U.S. starts kind of remembering the past because that's what got them to this future. However, to be one of the send-off games to set the U.S. up for success at the Olympics is questionable to me. The rivalry between the United States and Mexico, it runs so deep. And so often these rivalry games, I mean, we just saw it in the men's game last night for the U.S. versus Mexico. There's so much energy
and there's so much mentality and rivalry in these matches that it's an extra element and an extra level that is the risk of injury greater than versus a different opponent that doesn't bring as much rivalry as you're about to send your U.S. Women's National Team off to an Olympics that you hope they win gold? That's my biggest question mark around this.
No, especially with the U.S. already having quite a few injuries of the players that were just rostered for the W Gold Cup, and we're seeing more players go down that had a lot of minutes in that tournament that was Olympic, the same sort of calendar of cadence of games and everything. So I agree. I think it's questionable to have a game like that right before. On the other hand, I do like, because Mexico is going to offer a lot of challenges to the U.S. going into the Olympics. They're going to ask a lot of questions. Maybe they can, it'll expose them in ways where they still need to work on, where other teams watch Mexico beat the U.S. and are probably going to take that going into the Olympics. So maybe that'll provide more questions, build the U.S. a little bit up going into it. But I do agree. I think it's a bit much.
It's
right before the Olympics. They already have weakened roster with so many injuries.
You know what?
Coming into the NWSL season. So
100%.
I don't know.
You know, those injuries are something we're going to talk about when we get to that NWSL segment, Darian, because I think it's incredibly important to kind of mention the comments that, you know, Juan Amoros has been having as well. Juan Carlos Amoros, excuse me. But one of the things about playing against Mexico right before the Olympics, I think it's kind of hopeful, right? I think that it has to do with the fact that, okay, we have covered the holes that we were exposed to in the W Gold Cup potentially. With all of these games, we see they play Japan, Brazil, or Canada, and South Korea between now and then. Mm-hmm. And then they'll have Emma Hayes, obviously, entering the picture as well. I think that what they're trying to do is give that confidence back, potentially, saying, hey, you know what? We were unable to beat Mexico. They beat us on that day, and it's not going to happen again. And look at how much this team has grown since then, you know, a month or two later. To have that confidence boost right into the Olympics is maybe what they're looking for.
I agree. The matchup between the U.S. and the Mexico, hands down, I want to see it again. I want to see it right now, actually. I would love to see a rematch. So if the U.S. wins against Mexico,
Then it works out.
Yeah. What if they don't? What if these tackles are really tough? What if the injuries are greater than the results of the confidence? And that's where my biggest concern comes in heading into the Olympics.
And I don't say this as a homer. I do say that, you know, we saw the USA-Mexico game, and it wasn't a dirty game, right? Different than the men's mm-hmm. game is a little bit more physical. I would say that when they played against each other, it was a very tactically won game by Mexico. It was not a dirty won game by Mexico. So that actual, like, because of the emotions of that game, does it become physical? Wasn't something that crossed my mind, because that's not what we've seen from that rivalry in the past. Fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair, if that's what you think. Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, I'll be going to talk about NWSL when we return.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And what a great matchup we have between two teams that were right at the playoff line all the way through the tail end of last season. Angelino offers...
Rodriguez turns, fires, it gets a deflection and goes in. Izzy Rodriguez.
And here's a look at the NWSL weekend results. One of the things, plenty of rookies getting on the score sheet this weekend. Orlando Pride and Orlando City splitting points there. Kansas City taking 3 points from San Diego Wave, who hosted their home opener. North Carolina Courage losing to inaugural Utah Royals. Houston Dash and Racing Louisville splitting points. And I think the big one there, Gotham winning late last night against Portland Thorns. Let's go straight into the Utah Royals up against North Carolina Courage. I mean, Allie Setnor scores her first goal, and it is an absolute golazo, Lisa.
It was beautiful. I think that we got to see from Utah a little touch of Amy Rodriguez that she's putting on this squad with their confidence to shoot from distance, because they only had two shots all game. And they found the back of the net, Jenny. I mean, that's pretty good odds.
Well, this is classic Allie Setnor, right? She played at UNC. She left as early, not as a senior.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what we've seen from her in her college career. Why don't we go ahead and take a look at those highlights and see her goal again.
Second home match for the Utah Royals in the NWSL as they hosted North Carolina Courage. The Courage, they were coming off a 5-1 win over Houston. In the 15th minute, though, a corner kick for the Royals. Back post, Kate Del Fava with the header. Just her second NWSL goal in four seasons in the league. And it got things off on the right foot for Utah. North Carolina, though, they wanted to stay involved. Ashley Sanchez is making a name for herself at North Carolina. She fits into the system, and now she gets her first goal in the Courage jersey. It's all tied up, level at one at 26. Celebration's so big, you hit the ground. By the 30-minute mark, Utah Royals' Allie Setnor picked up the ball. It was a transition moment for Utah. Edge of the box. Welcome to the NWSL for the rookie, Allie Setnor. She gets the game-winning goal over Utah. Confidence soaring for that player.
Now remember, she is the first overall draft pick in the 2024 NWSL draft, and she shows it with this goal at home.
There were a few things not shown in this highlight. Two penalty kicks that North Carolina was awarded with against Utah. So the Courage had an opportunity to potentially take this 3-0 over Utah.
So the first one hits the post.
Right.
Yes. The second one gets saved, but can we just admit that they were bad penalty kicks?
They were terrible penalty kicks, but I have never seen before a penalty kick called on a penalty kick.
Me neither. I thought it was a retake until I watched it back.
Right.
And I was like, oh no, there was a blatant foul.
So let me explain what happened. There's Denise O'Sullivan off the post. That was the first foul, right? And then Merrick tackles Ashley Sanchez in the box when she's running for the ball to go get it. And that's why there's a penalty. And that's immediately after.
And that's on the rebound of the penalty. And you're exactly right, Jenny. Malia Berkeley, the center back for the Courage, stepping up to take these penalty kicks. I like it. She scored one in their opening match. But they were poorly taken. Slow rollers, easy saves.
Her run-up was short.
Good.
Yeah, not a lot of power.
Yeah, that not great. But Mandy Hott with the save, even though it wasn't a good penalty kick, she does deserve credit for saving it.
Yeah.
We go on to Washington Spirit against Bay FC. Washington Spirit taking the 3 points at home here.
Yeah, this was a really good game for the Spirit. I think they showed a lot of tenacity and grit that maybe we were lacking in the last game. But 11th minute, beautiful play from Bay FC. Dorian Bailey gets this cut back from Asisa Ashwala and gets this goal against her former Washington Spirit team. Love this for Bailey. I love this for Bay. I wish we could have seen the full buildup, because it was a really, really good team goal. A lot of chemistry we're seeing build. And then ball here held up by Ule Sar, plays it wide to Trinity Rodman, who passes it over to Hal Hirschfeld, the rookie. Beautiful first touch. And no look, takes her shot, goes into the upper 90. And I love this for her, because it's showing that she has a lot of boldness to her game. She's not afraid to go in and shoot and make a difference. I thought that she was a really, really key player for the Spirit. And then in the extra time, this Corey Berthune, who was heating up most of the game, shows some tenacity, puts this pass and gives them the win. I love this player. She was so fun to watch in this match. She had a goal or a shot off of the crossbar. She was creating opportunities left and right. Really, really fun player to watch.
Well, Corey Bethune had a great game, but I will say giving up a goal that late, really bad for Bay FC. We move on to Chicago Red Stars against Seattle Reign.
It was Julia Bianchi getting her first NWSL goal at the end of the first 45 minutes for Chicago. Put them ahead heading into the break. 63rd minute, Seattle Reign. It's Jiso Young. What a shot. She controls it at the top of the box, just volleys it. Alyssa Nair could not stop it at all, and G becomes the first Korean to score in the NWSL. A response from Chicago just minutes later as this ball is floated towards the back post. Great job by Maxi Rall. This is the right back for Chicago. Mm-hmm. She continues her run. It's an easy tap in on the back post. And for the first time, Chicago win their first two matches of a season after finishing the previous year dead last. How impressive is that for Lauren Donaldson and this Red Stars to be able to turn it around in just two matches?
I love it, because he spoke with us. He was actually on our show and was speaking to us about how he wants them to have fun. He's not so concerned about carving out an immediate identity. He wants the team to get some chemistry, enjoy the game, and play together. And I think we're seeing that. Even watching their celebrations as a team, they seem much more together than we've seen Chicago be in previous years for a while.
And two different goal scorers for Chicago that aren't Mallory Swanson. And she looks really good. She's in good form. She's creating chances. And because of her movement, it has allowed Bianchi and Maxi Rawl to get those goals. But all the pressure is not on Swanson. And that's helpful.
She looks what happier. She needs. You know, Darian, you're mentioning the happier aspect and Lauren Donaldson wanting to add that aspect. Obviously, he was her youth coach, you know. And when you're a youth player, there's so much fun to it. Mm-hmm. To kind of have that resurgence into the Chicago Red Stars, a franchise that needed to kind of fall back in love with the game after having such horrible instances and years under Rory. I'm happy to see them happy. You know, you see Mal looking happy. You just, you have to cheer for them because they deserve to have some joy after going through so much.
Mm-hmm. And their defensive structure was better, right? They're playing more of a defensive game this year after conceding 50 goals last year, and that's what Donaldson brings in, organization and structure to have it be the first priority of players to get behind the ball when they lose it, and we saw that against Seattle.
Yeah, we're excited to see them get their first two wins. After finishing last, very, very last, Lauren Donaldson coming in and making a difference immediately. Let's go over to San Diego Wave against KC Current. KC Current again impressing everybody.
Yeah, I mean, KC Current is looking good, but in the 17 minutes, San Diego had the momentum. Here from a corner, Sophia Jakobsen gets the rebound. Great save by AD French. Just watch this. Look at how athletic she is. Makes the save, but Jakobsen unmarked on the back post. Everybody's thinking the ball's going up. Not great on Kansas City off of a set piece. We know Vlatko Antonovski is really, really keen on fixing those. But here, deflection hits over to Izzy Rodriguez, who deflects off of Abby Dahlkemper, and she gets a goal. This ties it up off of her left. This is a great finish. She comes into the game, hits it over. Nothing a goalkeeper could do to save that. And then in the 71st minute, here is a blatant penalty. Bia Zanarato knows what she's doing. Being a classic nine, Lo Labonta steps up. The captain for Kansas City, our girl Lo, the dancing queen, puts that away. I love it. Kansas City gets the win, and I think they deserved it. Although I have to say, I loved what San Diego did with Jakobsen and Doniak being a little bit lower on the pitch. I think that gave them a little bit more of a wrinkle to their game because they are wingers. They like to go wide. They like to attack. But their combination play, Kansas City didn't have an answer for it, especially in the first half.
I really like Doniak in the six. She's playing much deeper, and because of her former playing in the wings and higher up the field, she wants to go forward. And when you have a six, a defensive midi that just wants to play the ball forward and combine and look to attack, it works out really well. She's playing really composed in that defensive midfield role. I like her there.
Well, that's on that side, right? I want to talk about Kansas City and Chawinga. Chawinga absolutely impressed me this weekend. I was like, oh, she's going to score. I even tweeted, taking a risk. I said, you know what? Chawinga is going to score. And then she gets subbed out early. I didn't like that. But she was so dangerous.
Yeah.
So many times I was thinking, there's no way she's not going to get on the score sheet. She's going to score plenty of goals for Kansas City this season. I think that they have a good setup on the attacking end. You guys are mentioning the other side there, but I was excited to see them do so well.
Chawinga's so fast, Jenny.
She's so fast.
You can't even see her legs. She's running so fast. It's like a little bit of a blur, but Kansas City has versatility. Seven goals in their first 2 weeks of play, seven different goal scorers. I mean, that's not a bad
stat. Mm-hmm. Great to see that wealth shared. Let's go over to Portland Thorns against Gotham FC. That was the last game of the weekend. Portland Thorns were hosting, and they typically win when they host, but that is not what happened here.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. They typically win, they host, but here in the 60th minute, Sophia Smith, oh my gosh, she's so fun to watch and just so talented. The ways that she can score goals is unmatched to any other forward in the league. I love this. What a banger. Love to see the celebrations, too. I think we're seeing her get back into the form that she was in and before the World Cup, and I love seeing this confidence happen, but VAR check goes and calls the goal back, which...
That's a crime.
It's a crime! I'm so sad. It was such a good goal. In the 72nd minute, though, Yasmin Ryan comes in and cuts this ball back to Esther Gonzalez and seals the deal for Gotham. Look at this. I love Yasmin Ryan on the wing. She has her head up. She's thinking about Esther. I wish we could see this again because Esther's movement to lose the center backs, she checks in and then just halts her run. Everybody's keeping momentum going towards the goal. It creates this beautiful pocket where Yasmin, luckily she has her head up, picks it out, puts it on a dime, and gives them the win. I love Yasmin Ryan as a winger. Yeah. I don't love her as a 10. I think it suits her more. She goes 1v1. I think she's one of the best crossers in the league. She was for Portland when she was there and played primarily on the wide flanks. But I hope we see her there more because she can pinpoint a ball on a dime, and I think Gotham really needs that.
And Ryan's previous experience playing in the midfield makes her really comfortable on the ball in tight spaces.
Yeah.
There were times when she was being doubled or triple teamed in the flank by Portland players, mm-hmm. and she just kept the ball close, maneuvered
She's
out
really
a bit,
smart.
Three defenders, and then finds the open player. It's impressive to watch her.
What does this mean about Portland for them losing their first two matches of the season? Obviously, I thought that they deserved the win. I thought that they had chances. Sophia Smith's goal getting pulled away. So I wasn't going to say it was that indicative of Portland, but for them to lose a home opener that they haven't done before, and then to lose the Kansas City match and then this one, what does it mean to the team, and how is that going to weigh on them differently?
It's tough for Portland to start their season this way because now they have to turn this around. They can't continue to build on it. They have to look at the mistakes they've made, and I think that comes down from not finishing chances. Sophia Smith had a lot of space. She had two goals called off ultimately in this match, but they were offside. Like, it's the laws of the game. It's not like it was little flukes or redirects. She was off on both of them. So they have to be a little bit more clinical when they get those chances, because they had a lot of opportunities. I think their attack really caused a lot of trouble for Gotham's back line, but they still couldn't score.
I agree. I also think something that needs to be said, I want to see more from Portland, is their combination to their forwards. I think it looks a little one-dimensional. I think that goal came off of Smith just kind of taking it on her own shoulders and going 1v1, cutting inside, but they have such a stacked technical team. I want to see them look more dangerous with the ball. They're able to pull teams out of their tactics and out of their defensive structures really well, but we're not seeing it be effective enough. But two losses in the beginning of the season, I'd rather that happen now than later.
True.
They have a lot of time.
It's a lot of individual play by the Thorns, right?
Yeah. I did see that there was, you know, quite a few plays that were inside the box where Olivia Moultrie gets a shot off. So they actually do have the ability to pass inside that final third, but they were unable to finish them, like you said, that clinical aspect missing. We're going to have Sandra Herrera join us next to give us her NWSL power rankings. So stay with us here on Attacking Third.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back into Attacking Third, presented by CarMax, the way car buying should be. It is now time to welcome in our fourth member, Sandra Herrera, CBS Sports writer. We are so happy to have you in, and you have written power rankings. Why don't we go ahead and take a look at those before we get to Sandra, because we got some beef to talk about here. I am surprised that San Diego stays as number one, Sandra, after they lost to the Kansas City Current this weekend. I would argue that they deserve to be number one. What are your thoughts on San Diego Wave staying as number one?
Oh, I love a teaching moment. People are really weird about power rankings and still to this day are like, what actually is a power ranking and how does it work? So I think looking at these teams so far, there's been some movement over the last couple of weeks. These are something that we've been running on CBS Sports since the offseason. So there's been some teams that have kind of jumped up. There have been some teams that have kind of dropped down from week to week. I'm keeping San Diego Wave number one at this moment because in my opinion, yes, they suffered a loss to open their weekend, but that's not exactly what we would call a bad run of form. And I think that's what we're looking at when we're trying to put together these power rankings. I don't think one loss against Kansas City is going to be truly representative of who they are as a team at this moment. They're still right now current Shield winners and current Challenge Cup winners, and they had a lot to show during that home opener. Unfortunately, soccer is what it is, and it just kind of doesn't pan out that way. So it wasn't enough for me to kind of bump them out of that first place. We're talking all kinds of service into the box. Savannah McCaskill showing that she's a key pickup. 39 crosses. They're going to be upset that they didn't capitalize more on those. But I still got the Wave at number one. And Gotham, for me, bumped up to number two in this one. Look, no Rose Lavelle, no Lynn Williams. That's not a problem for me. I think Esther Gonzalez is showing who she is. She's a beast in front of goal. She's someone who's not intimidated by a goal that could look very big to maybe some other strikers. I think the group is off to a good start. North Carolina Courage, same thing. We saw them dominate over the course of their game against Utah, and I think we can all agree that soccer is sometimes a strange sport where maybe you control the game, maybe even earn two penalties, and somehow still lose. But that doesn't mean that their run of form, for me, in my opinion, making them a team out of the mix.
Sandra, so goals and winning doesn't mean anything to you because San Diego, North Carolina, and Orlando, they're five right now in your standings, but they've had two come from behind draws. Why is Orlando so high?
Yeah, I just love something about a team who refuses to lose, and I think that's what Orlando is giving us right now. I also love the skill that they're showing. I think, sure, they left Marta wide open in the box there, but I think you have to have a certain level of skill to be able to kind of pull off that type of shot. So I love that this team is full of bite, and you could see it from players who are veterans, from players who are younger parts of their core. And I think once they actually start putting together a string of wins, they're going to be a dangerous team.
Sandra, I want to ask, how are the Current in Chicago not in your top five? One, because you rep Chicago so hard, and they're doing well. They're winning. They're getting some goals. They're winning games. And the Current, I think that they've showed some growth from game to game a little bit and have a lot of goal scorers. So why are they not in the top five?
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of the power rankings. I mean, they're not supposed to mirror a table. That's not what they are. So I love that the Current and Chicago are repping for the Midwest. I'm going to be here for that all the time. But, you know, they are in my top. They are in the top eight, you know, of these rankings. I got Kansas bumped up to number seven and there's number six, excuse me, in Chicago at number seven. So I like what they're putting together. I think Blacko is showing why he is made for NWSL.
Yep.
And they're getting results where they matter. But I think it's important to highlight and take a look at who's actually executing those tactics. So I think we have to shout out veterans and Vanessa DiBernardo and Lola Bonta and playing alongside 18-year-old Claire Hutton, all kind of pulling the strings to make sure things are getting done. And for Chicago, I think checking off a lot of firsts, making a little bit of history in their opening 2 weeks, I think is massive for them, but it's a long season, and that's the beauty of the power ranking. So some teams might have slower climbs, some teams might slip a little bit. Who knows what we're talking about in week six here.
Sandra, so this power rankings don't reflect the standings. I respect that. That's why we have you on, but we also have you on so we can poke some holes in all of your theories, my favorite thing to do. Washington Spirit, on your full power rankings that everyone can read at cbssports.com, are 11th. They have risen from their first week, but what is it going to take to get Washington into the top six of your power rankings?
Top six? Gosh, you're not even giving them top eight. You want to see them in the top six. I want to see a little bit more. I want to see a little bit more consistency. I think something that we're keeping an eye on in these early weeks are how some of the newer coaches themselves are also getting adapted to NWSL and the style of play here. I think there was something to be said to take a look at some of these coaches coming into these first couple of weeks and trying to see how they're adjusting and making, you know, the correct adaptations to, you know, week to week. So I like that we're seeing it a little bit in the Spirit. I think it's very helpful that they went ahead and got probably some of the best rookie class as part of their roster right now. I think we were all pretty high on a player like Croy Bethune, probably one of the most creative players to come out of a draft class maybe since Trinity Rodman just a few years ago. So I like that they were able to connect on goal, but getting this win against an expansion side that they themselves are also trying to establish an identity. A win is always going to feel good, but we got to take things into perspective. So that's why I've got them at 11 right now.
Sandra, this is why you are the expert, because I'm a little bit more emotional. You know, I'm like, oh, Kansas City won. They're looking good. Put them in number one. But you are a little bit more level-headed than me. Even though we have the same, you know, background, you're a little bit more calm than I am. I'm like, Kansas City, let's go.
That's why we got the table, and that's why you gotta have power rings. You gotta have fun with it sometimes.
Yes.
You know?
All right, that's why we have you on. You're the expert, Sandra. Love to have you on. Thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys, we are going to talk WU Champions League next, but on Thursday, we're going to have an immediate live attacking third after the Women's Champions League matches, so make sure you guys know to join us for that.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Women's Champions League leg one for the quarterfinals ended up with quite a bit of action, quite a bit of goals, and so much fun to watch. We are going to head into the second leg, but this is a look at the first results. Lyon getting the win over Benfica, Barcelona winning against Braun, but Braun getting a goal, and they celebrated so happily for that goal. PSG winning against Haken, and Chelsea getting the 3-0 win against Ajax. Let's go ahead and run through the matchups because a little bit of a memory. We covered the matches, and I need a little bit of a refresh as well. So let's talk about Lyon against Benfica and how that match went and what we think will happen in this second leg.
Yeah, Benfica underdogs heading into this matchup against eight-time champions Lyon. And honestly, Benfica did pretty well. They sat in a mid-block. They anticipated where Lyon's passing out of the back was going to come. They end up equalizing in this matchup. And I was really impressed with how Benfica was able to respond to what Lyon did. Ultimately, though, it's Melchi Di Mornay, the Haitian international off the bench for Lyon, that is a difference maker. Cascarino back for Lyon in this first leg against Benfica, really important because her movement off the ball up top, her ability to check back into the midfield to open up those pockets for the runners in behind her, it worked out really well for Lyon in the end, and now they get to come back home in the second leg.
Yeah, what a tough place to go play against Lyon at home when you're already down. I do think Benfica showed some really, really good moments during the game. They couldn't sustain it for a full 90 minutes. I think the first half they showed that they can really compete. I hope, you know, Jess Silva, I hope she's healthy for the second leg because I think they were missing her. They were missing that sort of flair that's going to draw a lot of the Lyon defense towards her and opens up lanes. But Lyon also overplayed the ball a lot in the game. They had two opportunities, one that was capitalized on where Benfica scored and another one where the ball was picked off and they had another opportunity. So I do think Lyon has its holes and weak spots. And I'm, you know what, I hope Benfica can come and show because they weren't a bad side to watch. They were really good. They just need to sustain it for 90 minutes and add a little bit more of a threat to their attack.
And Benfica proved that they're not scared to go against Lyon. That was very evident in the reverse fixture of this and leg one because of how much they did attack in their moments when they were given the time and the space because they sat they almost had like a mid-block against Lyon, trying to anticipate the build-out, sit in the pockets, and then once Benfica got the ball, they went in transition.
They jumped at the right time. Yeah.
Well, here's a good fact about Benfica. They've won the second leg in their last three two-legged UCL ties. So that's going to be incredible considering that if they're better after seeing the team, shall we put it at that, and they perform better and they win that, that'll be a big one. I will say they have not reached the semifinal, though, of Champions League, but that would be the first Portuguese team to do so. Let's go on to the next matchup, Chelsea against Ajax. That was a 3-0 win for the Blues here, and we saw a bit of, lineup change for the WSL weekend because of the players that played in this game, but gosh, Lauren James.
Yeah, I mean, really smart play for the first goal for Chelsea by Lauren James because everybody else stops. Everyone thinks she's offside, but it's a deflection. It ends up going in, it's their first goal, and then Nuskin gets one, and then two. Katarina Macario comes in, puts this ball on a dime to Nuskin when she sends it home, seals the deal 3-0. Ajax, another team, we spoke about this last Thursday. They looked really good. It was until Chelsea scored their second that the momentum really shifted. But they had one off of the posts early in the game. They looked good. They weren't playing scared. I thought defensively they looked really solid and sound. But it just the game got away from them. They weren't able to crawl their way back.
After Chelsea got some of those goals, Ajax, they got stretched.
Yeah.
Really stretched between the lines. And Chelsea was overloading on the wide areas and the flanks, and Ajax, frankly, could not handle the amount of numbers that Chelsea was throwing forward and all around the ball. But Ajax had their high press against Hannah Hampton was in goal for the Blues in the first leg of this matchup, and she got put under pressure at some point. And I think Ajax is going to
kind of try to do that again, put Chelsea under pressure in the back, but they have to balance when they do that high press and when they sit back so they don't get stretched earlier, because as soon as that happens, Chelsea takes advantage of all the space.
Lisa, it is so hard to come back from a 3-0 deficit. I mean, and then considering the depth that Chelsea has, we talk about Mayra Ramirez coming back during the WSL weekend. She played about 20, 30 minutes in the WSL, and she was so good. To have her return and play against Ajax, something that she didn't do in the last Champions League match, that's a huge one.
So Ramirez should be available for Chelsea, not available for Ajax, Lily Johannes.
Yeah, that's a big
yellow card. She's out now.
American teenager.
16-year-old in the midfield is the not double there. Yellow. It's tough for Ajax now. I think it's going to be hard to fill
her orchestrator.
She's so creative in the midfield, too. It'll be a big miss for Ajax.
You know what I love, though, with Chelsea is Ramirez and Macario. I think that duo up top is so good and fun to watch. I hope we see that in this leg, because it was fun over the weekend to see them play just a few minutes together. I think that's going to be a really, really strong pairing going into the rest of the season.
But just consider, you had Ashley Lawrence and Katerina Macario coming off the bench during the last leg. Now you have Mayra Ramirez. Erin Cuthbert didn't play that much in WSL because she played in Champions League. I mean, the depth that they have, it's stacked. Like, I would not want to be on Ajax's
end there. And the experience playing in these types of games.
Okay. There's so much we can talk about there. Let's move on to PSG against Haken. I know we were all rooting for Haken, but PSG gets the 2-1 win on this one, Darian.
Yeah, PSG gets the 2-1 win here, you know, deflection and a first time goal for Gaetano, the American. I love this for her, making her appearance in the Champions League for PSG. And you know what? Haken is another team, though, that put up a really good fight against Paris Saint-Germain. Chawinga, we all love her. She's an incredible player. Seals the deal for PSG. She had one earlier in the match that was taken away, but to me, she's the star of the team. I think she is going to carry them through this tournament. And we're just seeing the beginning of how good she really can be and effective. But I think Haken can maybe still take it to PSG. PSG oftentimes don't show all the way through a tournament. I don't know what it is. They are so good. They're a stacked team. They have all of the talent in the world. But they never really push all the way through. We see it against their matchup in Lyon, the big tournaments that they play in the French league. So I still think the game is open. I think Haken can possibly do it, yes. But we'll see. Yeah, I still have some belief in Haken. Yeah.
That's why there's two legs, right? It's 2-1 is not a big deficit. Exactly. I mean, coming back from a 3-0, guys, I will say, unless it's a remontada, that's very difficult. But a 2-1 is possible, Lisa.
It totally is. And Haken forced PSG to defend in their first matchup. Yeah. They got in behind, and they forced the restructuring in the first 20 minutes of that match for PSG to actually be aware of where all those Haken players are. Chawinga up top for PSG is always dangerous, and the variety in which PSG creates their chances, whether it's shots from distance, getting in behind, their second chances, right, on missed clearances, that's where PSG is going to thrive. So Haken has to be really good on those 50-50 balls.
And their box defending.
On their box defending. If they get a clearance, get it out, because PSG is going to be all over them.
Beautiful, guys. Last one here. Barcelona against Braun. Barcelona being the reigning champions. And honestly, the Braun goal made us all really happy, because that celebration. Ooh, was that Graham Hansen?
Yes. Sure.
Yeah, this had an absolute match, Darian.
Yeah, she was incredible. Beautiful play from Barcelona. I love watching Graham Hansen, because she always does what's unexpected. She doesn't really go into what you're thinking she's going to do, which is cut or take the first time touch and shoot immediately. And the Paruelo gets the second goal later in the match. But I actually think Braun did a really good job shutting down Paruelo. You didn't see her much. She didn't get a lot of touches really until that moment. But Braun, I think, did well. Like all of these teams that lost, honestly, did well. They had really good defensive plays. They sat in a low block. Barcelona's a tough team to play against. They're going to take all of the possession. They're going to wear you out. Braun did really well with that. They were unlucky to let Paruelo score that goal. Brilliance by Paruelo to get it by. But I still think that it's not over until it's over. Barcelona shows they send so many numbers forward. They are so vulnerable in the counter. And I think Braun now having the confidence of scoring that goal at home, you see how much it meant to the team and the players and all of the fans. That's a lot of energy to bring into the second leg. So the tournament's open. I'm excited to see.
It worked in the first leg for Braun to sit back and force Barcelona to be really patient. And Barcelona did not
finish frustrated.
As many chances
they
as really they should have. 24 attempts, 9 on target in the first half for Barcelona.
It's insane. But they got frustrated in the game. You could see it.
And Braun weathering the storm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, well, I will say, Lyon, Benfica, PSG, Haken, Barcelona, Braun, all 2-1. I would say that all of those are still alive. Chelsea, Ajax, the 3-0 is probably the only one that I'm going to say is probably a done deal. But that's our show, ladies.
That's fun. It.
We're back in studio.
So fun.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining Attacking Third, presented by CarMax, the way car buying should be. We'll see you on Thursday.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.